broadcast. We'll take some more calls after the next commercial interruption. Dated April 2001, Volume 22, Number 4. Multinational Monitor is the title of this publication. NAFTA's Investor Rights, A Corporate Dream, A Citizen Nightmare. Chapter 11 Dossier, Corporations Exercise Their Investor Rights. Corporations have filed more than a dozen cases under NAFTA's Chapter 11 investment provisions, which enable corporations to sue governments for infringements of their investor rights. Since they are conducted in confidential arbitral processes, inaccessible to public scrutiny and participation, in contrast to open proceedings in domestic courts. Information on ongoing cases is sketchy. Available information on 15 areas is summarized here. And they talk about Ethel Corporation. In this first investor state case, Ethel Corporation of the United States sued the Canadian government for $250 million and obtained in 1998 a settlement of $13 million for the Canadian ban on the gasoline additive MMT, a nerve toxin. And there's another NAFTA nightmare, Multinational Monitor, October 1996. And the ban was reversed. S.D. Myers in October 1998, U.S.-based S.D. Myers Incorporated, which treats transformers conducting toxic PCBs, filed a claim for $30 million for losses it claims to have incurred during a one-and-one-half-year ban, 1995 through 1997, on the export of PCB waste from Canada. The Canadian federal government states that Canada is bound by international conventions that stipulate that PCBs must be destroyed in an environmentally sound manner, and that U.S. standards for PCB disposal are not as high as Canada's. The waste were destroyed in a Canadian facility in Alberta, and the export ban was revoked in 1997. The U.S. government also controls cross-border movement of PCBs. In November 2000, the arbitral tribunal found that the ban did contravene the investment chapter regarding national treatment and minimum standards of treatment of foreign investors. And it's now determining whether S.D. Myers suffered damages. In the meantime, the Canadian government has applied to the domestic federal court to have the tribunal's partial award set aside, arguing that the case concerned cross-border trade, not a Canadian investment, and that the award conflicts with the well-established Canadian policy requiring disposal of PCBs and PCB waste in Canada to comply with the Basel Convention on the Control of Transboundary Movements of Hazardous Waste and Their Disposal. Once again, NAFTA passed after the 1992 Rio Earth Summit, implementing Agenda 21 and the Biodiversity Treaty. Listeners, it's been going on for 13 years. It's the biggest secret in the world. Agenda 21 is the biggest secret in the world. I've been talking about this for months. It's your turn to research and talk about it. To every country, to every talk show in every country, as best you can. We'll have more calls coming up, listeners. Stay with us. Broadcast. New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson declared a state of emergency Friday in four counties along the Mexican border that is said to have been devastated by the crimes such as the smuggling of drugs and illegal immigrants. Okay, so governor of New Mexico has declared a state of national emergency on his state. Arizona has declared a state of emergency in their state. I have that here, too. This is off the website now that Dennis has put up there. So obviously, things are percolating. And it's the UN system that's doing the percolating, listeners. Although, in any communist country that you're in, you can't leave it. Except communist China. You can go visit and see just what they want you to see. But they won't let you see the devastation that has been created over the years in communist China. You'll be lucky to get out alive in many respects if you search deep into the history of communist China, as Mao Zedong is pictured and memorialized in their Red Square in communist China. And yet we're having the devastation that's been talked about and researched by many, but not connecting the dots to the UN system like me. And I'm just going to toot my horn about all this. Because, listeners, it's the UN system that is over in Iraq. The coalition is led by this country under the guise of the UN system. It's George Bush, but he's doing the work of the UN system, listeners. Sam in Missouri, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Chris. Good afternoon to you.
Thanks for the warning.
I just wanted to mention, first of all, you have the best bumper music of anybody I know. That is wonderful stuff coming in and out of the break, so you guys keep it up. That's great.
Thank you, my friend.
The other thing I want to mention is that if we only knew what we were setting ourselves up for, I think a lot more of us would be bound and determined to fight for the freedoms in which we once had in this country. And the reason I say that is I had an interesting conversation. One of the things that technology has afforded us through the invention of what's called voice over Internet, which is a method of doing telephone traffic over the Internet, is that you can talk to people in other countries for a flat fee. Like, for example, the UK, it doesn't cost you anything to talk to somebody over in the UK any more than it does to talk to somebody here in the States using that technology. And this gentleman that I talked to today, one of the things, without him realizing it, he confirmed everything that I've always been trying to get across to people, and that is, see, they've had all these attacks over the years, which a lot of them, in my opinion, I think were staged to help get them where they are now, and I pointed that out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the arguments that you hear from this side, from that side of the pond, is that, well, it may be a false sense of security, but we have it now, and we don't dare stand up against it, because if we do, we'll liable get our head shot off or anything, because they have a shoot-to-kill policy, darn near anything that moves over there now. And the point that I think people have to understand, and that is that we either stand up now and fight against this system that's coming down on us, or it's over, and it's over for good, because who's going to stand up against something once it's already firmly entrenched? It isn't going to happen. And between the apathetic masses, you got that problem out there. Then once you get more and more people who are educated under this type of a system, they're not going to have any inkling as to what to do, because they've been raised to believe in it. So, you know, there goes your next generation that will be raised and bred in tyranny. And so I think the thing that we have to understand is we either fight it now and try to do what we can now, and I'm talking particularly for those who have been sitting on the sidelines, you either fight and stand up now, or you'll never have another chance again, because once it's gone, it's gone. Because the attitude that exists over in the UK is that, well, we have it now. If we were to get rid of the tyrannical system we have now, nobody would go to work or go to school because they would be so scared to death of terrorism. So now that we have it, we have to learn to live with it, even though we're not happy with it.
Aren't the people in the UK disarmed?
That's exactly it. And it's like I pointed out to this gentleman I talked to on the phone. I said, you're disarmed over there. And I said, you have more crime than we have here in the States. I said, you know, if only you guys realized what you were buying into. I said, that's what we're trying to do here in the States. We're trying to get people to understand what they're buying into before they get there. And see, the problem you got is now that they're there, there's nobody willing to lift a finger to try to reverse it, because woe be unto them that would dare try. That's the attitude that exists over there. Well, we're very unhappy, we're miserable, but it's here now, and we got to live with it, because if we got rid of it now, the economy would fail because everybody would be scared to death to do anything.
You know what amazes me more than anything else is that so many people are still in this controversy over 9/11. They're still arguing over it being a set-up operation. And yet, and obviously it was. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that it was just another setup scenario like the past. We never argued the Gulf of Tonkin resolution for the Vietnam War, but here we are in this mess of Agenda 21 and the UN system and the State Department implementing it, and nobody talks about it.
I know, absolutely. And the thing is, there's nothing to argue about on 9/11 because there's enough evidence out there to choke a horse that the whole thing was controlled demolition, that the planes alone did not bring it down. Now what we need to do is deal with the issues that are coming down on us. And the point of the matter is that who stood the most to gain out of the 9/11 disaster? I mean, the evidence is overwhelming that it was an inside job, just like Oklahoma City was.
Yeah.
And the beat goes on. And meanwhile, we're losing our freedoms right and left, all because of an inside done hoax.
And the point is, America is the UN system. If America stops funding the UN system, the UN system fails.
That's right. So, you know, I hope that in some way this will even give more of a wake-up call to people out there who are listening to this broadcast today, that it's either you stand up now and you be counted as those in the fight to keep freedom and liberty here in the U.S., or you lose, and you lose for good. Because let me tell you, a lot of the countries around us, a lot of those populations are just resigning themselves to the fact that, well, we've got what we got now, we may as well live with it. And the bottom line is, we are the last bastion of liberty and freedom that exists to any extent in the world at all now. Once it's gone, that will give a nice wake-up call to the communist regimes to really march forward, because, including the UN system, because the thorn, which we make up the UN system, we're the ones that fund it and keep it going. But see, we will be the thorn as far as what little vestiges of freedom there is in this country with the population that is left. That thorn will be removed, and then not only will the powers that be in this country have their way, but any other communist regime will have its way, because the problem we're dealing with here, Chris, is other than a few of us out here that still have liberty and freedom in our hearts out here as individuals, we're it. I mean, the rest of the world, including, unfortunately, our government here, is running a communist ideology.
Yeah.
And so this is what we have to stand up against, and we either better do it and do it now, or else it's definitely over. And the thing we also have to remember is it's been a relative few that have stood up and won many fights throughout history. So don't buy into this argument that we need the vast majority of people with us, because we don't. I mean, it's nice to get as many numbers as we can, but it's never been a majority that's done anything. In fact, if anything, a majority, usually when you follow in the footsteps of the majority, you wind up going off a cliff, you know?
Right. Well, the other countries were hoping over the years that we would come to their rescue. Chiang Kai-shek was hoping we would come to their rescue in 1949, when they were chased out of their country by communist China, funded by the Soviet Union, and funded by the Federal Reserve System. Look where we are now.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So I just wanted to put that out there, Chris, because, you know, I learned a lot from this guy, even though he had a little bit more of a socialist mindset. You can still learn from people, even if you don't absolutely agree with them. It's little things that they say that you can learn and you can pick up on that speak volumes about where we're headed here. Because the old saying goes, no matter who you're talking to, broken clocks are right twice a day, particularly if they're analog, as I always like to say. And if they're digital, they're at least right once a day.
Yeah.
So So you just have to, you can learn a lot from the mindset that these people are thinking. And unfortunately, I'm seeing the beginnings, even here in the States, of an attitude that, well, misery loves company. I'm miserable, so everybody else should be miserable around me. And that's not the attitude to have. That's a defeatist attitude.
No more.
And if once we get that, we're done.
Amen.
That's all I got, Chris.
Appreciate it, Sam. Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you. Arizona Republic, August 16th. Governor Janet Napolitano on Monday declared a state of emergency along Arizona's border with Mexico, freeing up $1.5 million in disaster funds to help border counties combat booming illegal immigration and drug smuggling. It's not illegal. It's legal under the U.N. system. It's legal under the U.N. system. Migrants and human rights treaties, listeners. There it is. It's the U.N. system in America, listeners.
For my country, for the pain that it's been through, she's been made to suffer, for the profit of a few.
Okay, we're back. Arizona Republic, August 16th, listeners. Napolitano criticized the federal government for moving too slow on border security, evolving into a hot-button election year issue in Arizona and across the country. This is on our website, today's date. Dennis put it up there, and certainly it's the Hegelian dialectic maneuvering itself to chaotic proportions at the border. I said this was going to happen years ago. It was planned to be this way. Now who's going to come to our rescue when the border situation gets totally out of hand? NATO. NATO. We don't have any troops in America. They're all over the world. On purpose. And there's a very indicating direction of the UN system, listeners. The police state is because of the UN system. State Department Publication 7277 from 1961 says so. It's in public laws, 87-297, 101-216. Now, in the U.S. Code, go to arms and disarmament. In the U.S. Code, it's there. It's all here. It's all to be researched by everyone. Not just me. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes. Now, as far as Gorbachev is concerned and the Green Cross, everything has a foundation, and I'm going to build upon the foundation that the last caller presented. Now, with Gorbachev, Gorbachev was in the KGB under Andropov. Now, with that said, you ever read the defector Jan Senja, who was featured in the book Red Cocaine and Betrayed by a Joseph Douglas?
Jan Senja?
Yeah.
Did I read it? No, but I've read about him. I've read interviews. I've listened to interviews. Now, what are you referring to, though?
Oh, the kind of drugs that Russia used on its opponents, and the fact that the KGB controlled these drugs. And these drugs had many purposes. One was to turn enemies into friends, cause people to become confused, destabilize people, control chaotic behavior. They said that these drugs are more potent than nuclear missiles. So you're looking at the fruit of what's happening. I would not be surprised if these drugs weren't used to create the atmosphere that we have today. Like I'm a strong opponent against illegal immigration. Let's say I was a Jesse Helms type in the Senate. They could slip me a Mickey, and I could say, oh no, I was wrong about illegal immigration. Illegal immigration's great. Let them pour in. In fact, let the bottom 25% come in, because under a communist country, you see, they don't let anybody out except for their crud.
That's right.
So when you look at the fruit of Agenda 21 and everything like that, don't be surprised if these type of drugs weren't used to as a fruit of it. because it says caused leaders to constantly shift direction and embrace each new idea.
Mm-hmm.
Demoralize people and give them a defeatist attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the KGB controls the drugs, and this has been happening since 1967. What do you think so far?
Well, I think the dumbing down process started in the 1930s. The drugging down process started in the 1960s.
Yes, and here's another potent one. Turn men into homosexuals. They have homosexual drugs.
Isn't that something?
Yes, and the more you read this, the more you realize that the pattern is the same, and each of these things have fingerprints, and that's the reason why America is the way that it is. These communists have infected their way into power, infected their way into government, and it talks about how these drugs are administered. They're administered by assaulting buildings, embassy buildings, and places like that. So,
makes sense.
Oh, it does. And a person who I know myself has written this research from these defectors under the pen name of Mike Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a pretty good paper. And if you read it, your blood pressure would boil. And then you read works by Stanislav Lunev and Anatoly Golitin and people like that, your blood pressure would really get going, realizing that the communists have already infected this country,
yeah,
and there's almost no way of getting these people out of there.
Unfortunately, you're correct.
But, but you know...
But let's go to Mars, though, huh? Let's go to Mars. Let's go back to the moon, as the press keeps pushing us now into believing.
But there was a caller before that was absolutely right about the depopulation programs.
All right.
And they do consider us useless eaters, and all you have to do is look at history and look at what Hitler wanted to do in Mein Kampf. He wanted to take all of what he deemed the subhuman races and have the leaders go through the Brandenburg Gate to pay homage to the Führer.
And unfortunately, we have the Fourth Reich in America today.
Oh, that's a fact, my friend.
Yeah.
Definitely a fact. Thank
Thanks.
You for taking my call, and do have an excellent day.
Thank you very much, Jeff. We'll be back to continue the broadcast. Gorbachev at the Presidio, what's that about? Stay with us. Listeners, the collapse of the Soviet Union was presented in the Western media was a fraud. The Soviet Union didn't collapse and communism didn't die. They just reorganized. Communism is alive and well. It was repackaged and is being creatively marketed across the United States under the new brand name of civil society and communitarianism. The Communitarian Network, listeners, is in Washington, D.C. That's the Communitarian Network. Do a search on the Communitarian Network, listeners. Go to the Anti-Communitarian League while they're still up and operating, as they need your funding as well as I need your funding. Larry, we'll take you real briefly, and then we've got Hansa with us. Larry, go ahead.
Oh, glad to hear you got Hansa with you.
Thank you.
Hey, I was found a new term that I've not seen in this UN stuff. It's called mondialization.
Mm.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I'm going through the Skull and Bones book, fleshing out the Skull and Bones, and it has a lot of Anthony Sutton's newsletters printed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how Bush was appointed to the UN, and his appointment led to the expulsion of Taiwan and a seat for communist China. Simultaneously, Bush used his UN office to support mondialization, i.e. the adoption of individual communities of world status. Part of local taxes goes to support United Nations rather than the local community. It is a rejection of U.S. sovereignty. And then it goes on and prints a letter that he sent to Richfield, Ohio was the first community to embrace this mondialization policy.
This is George Herbert Walker Bush.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, it says... permit me to congratulate you and other members of your community on your proclamation of mundialization. There cannot be anything more encouraging to us than to hear from a community like yours that supports the United Nations and believes in it and its importance to the establishment of world peace. Equally significant is your community's commitment to help increase understanding among the peoples of the world, for without that understanding, peace among peoples could never be achieved. What a profound contribution Richfield is making to man's greatest efforts to build a world in which all pledges of the UN Charter will truly govern relations among nations.
Mm-hmm. Way to go.
And it's in direct opposition to the Constitution of the United States and national sovereignty.
There you have it. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Well done. Hansa Molina is with us, listeners. We have just a little bit of time left. Hansa, welcome to the broadcast.
Chris, I have to apologize. I was running so behind.
I understand your dilemma.
I was in traffic, so I was kind of trying to do it, and I called the first number, and you know, then I had a little. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me, so I had to dial the number again. Let me put it quickly. I'm looking at Betrayed, the book written by Joseph D. Douglas, and I found the page when the caller previously was talking about. And there's more to it. These mind control drugs were founded by the KGB, but as it turns out, the Czechoslovak espionage and intelligence service, they started their own research into the mind control drugs, and by the time they compared the Soviet results, and the Czechs were actually much more advanced, and so the KGB abolished their program and took where the Czechs were already. So it was also Czechoslovakia Czechoslovak communists that really got their foot into the door. These drugs, mind control drugs, could cause people to, for example, become paranoid, give people a sense of hopelessness, drive people to suicide or insanity, turn soldiers into deserters, kill motivation and make people passive, which is very important during the war, create a defeatist attitude, that means give up drugs, cause victim to experience intense pain, which is called torture drugs. And they were also, and this book is described that they tested, the KGB tested a so-called chaos drug in France during the 60s in one small village, when the people were actually, once this drug was supplied to the water supply, these people were actually stripping naked and jumping into the river.
Mm.
And throwing furniture into a river, it creates so much chaos that the Russians were actually scared with the results, what really happened there. And of course, let me quote from the book. It's from the Betrayed book from page 174. Within the mind control operations arena, one KGB operation that was just in the planning stage in 1967 was especially frightening. This was the construction of a global intelligence network whose objective was to neutralization of organizations that were considered hostile to Soviet interest. The idea was to identify such organizations and then set about to destroy or neutralize the mid-level management through the use of mind control drugs. Studies of these organizations and their leadership has been initiated in Czechoslovakia in 1966. These studies were expanded in 1967 with increased emphasis on developing the intelligence techniques or operational, quote, tradecraft, unquote, for employing mind control drugs within the organizational context. You know, there were some talks about Russians using various techniques against the U.S. diplomats, namely those that were in Russia and Eastern Europe, including sort of microwave radiation and these types of techniques that were basically creating unfavorable results on part of the Americans. And of course, they tested several of these mind control drugs on political prisoners and on American POWs that were held in Soviet Union at that time.
Oh boy!
So of course, you don't hear anything about this today because it's so unfavorable to our pro-Russian appeasement policies of the U.S. government.
Yes.
But
we're allies today, Hansa.
Yeah.
We're allies. We're allies with Russia today.
That's the problem, yeah.
There are allies.
Let me quote Condoleezza Rice real quick because we don't have a lot of time and I want to quote this to listeners what she said. And she was really specific in this. She said that that Russia is our strategic ally, that even though in Russia, she said that Russia is our valuable ally and partner in many areas, including the fight against terrorism and efforts to curtail the spread of nuclear arms. So this is Condoleezza Rice quoted. She said it during her visit in Poland. I basically wrote about it. Her background is very questionable to me. She's a security risk. She should be fired immediately from the U.S. government, including the abolishment of the State Department, because that's the target that the Russians
infiltrated.
Are interested. Of course, the Venona project the uncovering of Soviet agents within the State Department during the 50s, that was just tip of the iceberg. Because the natural reaction of the Russian communists when any operation was compromised or exposed, the natural reaction was always intensifying the operation and bring it to successful results the next time they tried. And so we can only suspect how much more the State Department is infiltrated and our foreign policy making centers included. And of course, they are favorable policies, favorable to Russia, policies being spread around the U.S. government by people that should be questioned and their past should be questioned, and these policies should be rejected.
Hansa, I see here in the paper, dated August 16th, Rice says Iraqis will finish work. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice took a delay in completion of an Iraqi constitution in stride Monday and said, quote, they needed a little more time, end quote, to work out compromises. Now, the Iraqi Communist Party is instilled in Iraq. The Worker Communist Party of Iraq is instilled. It's on our website. Communism is alive and well in Iraq. Right now.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, the use of diplomacy towards communism and towards communists is what these people really want. The Russians really want America to be tied in negotiations, and we can point to our failed negotiation with North Korean communists. Of course, North Korea was supplied with the U.S. uranium by the Clinton administration, which is also very highly questionable red flag in front of us because of Clinton's past, namely his visit in Czechoslovakia and Soviet Union in 1970, where he stayed, for example, in Prague in Czechoslovakia, the house of high-level Czechoslovak military intelligence officer Colonel Bezřich Kopold, who was son-in-law of the founding member of the Czechoslovak Communist Party. So this is the environment Clinton was in during his so-called student visit in Czechoslovakia in January 1970. So we can of course look at the Clinton administration, take a look what the results were, and we can see that it's nothing but appeasement of the communists. Total disruption of U.S. military, downsizing, disarmament, sending a lot of U.S. tax dollars to Russia where they are totally misused for military purposes, for building 200 nuclear bunkers in Russia, the size of Washington, D.C., and with a price tag of $6 billion per nuclear bunker. You know, and at the same time when Clinton was sending this money, of course, the involvement of the Vice President Al Gore in this scheme is pretty much obvious, because it is known fact that Al Gore was actually supplied money by known KGB agent Armand Hammer, a personal friend of Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. And of course, the Al Gore senior was also supplied the money by this person. It came to the point that Al Gore was supposed to be investigated for these connections, and his connection to the KGB criminal Yevgeny Primakov at the time to set up the scheme to rob American taxpayers of their money, basically to send money to Russia to, quote, safeguard these nuclear weapons, unquote, which, you know, it's again, totally laughable to me how they would actually lose any nuclear weapons unless they intended to lose them.
There you have it.
Absolutely. Of course, these nuclear weapons would never fall into hands that the Russians would have wanted to. It will always be Russian controlled.
So when we have Al Qaeda being blamed for the nuclear event that will happen in America, it will be sponsored and encouraged by the former KGB FSB, huh?
Right. Let me quote real quick. I wrote this in the beginning of the year. The communists have retained their power and used their financial tools and aggressive business moves toward the West to do the following, and then I quote, by tying the Western businesses into joint ventures with the communists, the system of recruitment of communist agents of influence couldn't have a better result. The money, corruption, and other tools of subsequent compromising, blackmail, and recruitment communist operations involving these Western business leaders, all of this is part of the communist military strategy. The word military I use because, as the communists have realized long ago, the peaceful takeover of the West, and most of all of the United States, is impossible to achieve because of one obstacle in their way, the U.S. Constitution. The Russian communist military strategy dictates the Russian former KGB, now newly self-recognized businessman, to first get involved in the West, then to acquire as many Western businesses and means of production as possible, carefully though not to cause any major concerns, and then to use these power tools at the time of the nuclear blackmail of Europe and the ultimate nuclear war against the United States. They shut down any strategic production means of the enemy. When the communists are the owners, like in the case of the already reported only platinum mining company in the Western Hemisphere, the Stillwater Mining Company in Montana, they control our strategic production means during the wartime. We can see that we shipped a lot of production to China. And that's again to understand this from the point of view, from the perspective of the communists, of the Chinese communists. They couldn't really ask for better results, because this way they take away our production means during the wartime, and actually we are building their production means during the wartime, which they are welcoming. So why wouldn't they put on the theatrical appearance of happy businessman with America when at the same time they are getting their operations basically done, and America is losing the production means, and we are basically being set up for this kind of operation, and the communists are really happy to help us to supply that slave labor and cheap labor, and of course people like people from Walmart and any other mart that sells Chinese products. They can be happy because they get the cheap products. They can sell really well, and people don't really look where it's made.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line. You know, it's all making the profit. at the expense of national security.
There you have it. And keep in mind, you have Costco ports on the West Coast, Costco ports on the East Coast, Costco ports on the Gulf of Mexico. You've got containers coming into this country virtually uninspected. Not even 1% gets inspected, according to key people that have worked for Customs. Customs officially says 2% get inspected. So what could be coming to America, Hansa? Could pre-positioning be happening in America today?
Well, absolutely. Let me quote, again, I did some research about the investigation in Poland of Jan Kulczyk, who was connected to, he owns a major company, oil company in Poland, and they were buying actually gas stations all over Western Europe.
Oh, boy.
And,
listen, we'll wrap this up with you, Hansa. We'll give you the floor when we return, and I'll let you know, listeners, the bill that I'm responsible for, that you're responsible for, if you want to hear me some more on RBN. Back to the broadcast. Keep in mind, the network needs $3,410 if you want to hear this broadcast next month. They need $3,410 by the 25th if you want to hear this broadcast next month. Send your donations and make them understood that it's for this broadcast. 1015 South May Street, Suite 100. That's 1015 South Mays, Suite 110. It's 100, Round Rock, Texas. That's Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. 78664. Send those donations in. Make sure you let them know it's for this broadcast to be aired next month here on RBN. Hansa has the floor. Hansa, call me after the show as usual. Go ahead, my friend.
Finish with this because it's significant. As Jan Kulczyk, I was mentioning, owns a Polish company, PKN, which is oil company. He had a meeting with former, again, the stress the word, former KGB resident, which is the KGB chief directing officer in Poland, on September 3rd, in September 2004 in Vienna. This guy's name is Vladimir Arganov, is actually top-ranking manager of Russian Lukoil company. Therefore, Kulczyk is also trying to buy Czech company Unipetrol, which is an oil company. His plans for Unipetrol allegedly involve splitting the company into three parts, selling one-third to U.S. ConocoPhillips and the remaining part to Czech, again, businessman Andrei Babiš, who is, again, former communist agent, born 1954, codenamed Bureš, file number 25085. So, and there's also the Polish PKN company now owns over 500 gas stations in Germany, formerly owned by German oil company Aral. This is how the Russians are cornering the oil market, which is essential to war means and to their military strategy. Of course, they offered sale of 7.6% of the Lukoil company to Conoco. Well, why wouldn't they sell the American dupes part of their state-run company? When the company is with majority stock in hands of Russian communists, anyway, you know, this is supposed to be for the communists. Why wouldn't they accept this kind of generous capitalist quote, donation unquote? To their military production. You know, so this is how the Russians do it, and there's countless examples of this. We are blind to it, and when they're really ready to strike, they can shut this down in a matter of great worldwide chaos as far as economic meltdown, by shutting down their production or cutting off the deliveries of Russian oil to Western Europe and Russian natural gas. They can pretty much create terrorism problem for all our oil suppliers, that sell oil to America, at the time, by the time we figure it out, we're going to have terrorism here. then the Russians are setting us up for their kind of strategy of military attack.
And thank you, my friend Hansa. You stated it well. I'm sorry you had such a late visit. We'll be back with Hansa hopefully next week. The support is needed, listeners. You know the direction. God bless you all and good afternoon. Thank you.